And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. I have been gone all weekend. My schedule has been nothing like the president's, by the way, but it's been pretty busy. And anytime I start feeling sorry for myself, wow, I've got a lot to do. I look at what President Trump is doing and I think, shut up. You know, just get to it. Let's go. This man is like a juggernaut. I mean, he's speaking 4 and 5 times a day. And folks, I am not someone who is inexperienced at speaking back to back on several occasions, even since I've run for office. I've done it several times a day. I have never seen anything like what this man is doing. It really is amazing. And at his age, the level of energy that he has, it's something to behold. But I'm going to get to the president and Joe Biden and the race here in a second. But first, I want to thank the folks down in Tampa, Florida, in the Tampa Bay area. First, my host, Daniel Bernard, and his lovely wife, Kathy. They were so kind to me. I went down there for the weekend, spent some time helping to stir up the Christian community to do what needs to be done, not only on November 3rd, first and foremost on November 3rd, but also for this country in general, to bring Christians together across all ethnic and racial and cultural lines as one body in Christ, to fight for the things of the kingdom, the values, the principles that our God has given us. And I'll tell you, this was sponsored by a project Daniel started called the 50-Day Fight. You can find out more about it by going to 50dayfight.com. And I'll tell you, folks, the Spirit of God was moving in those programs. And they prayed for everything from the president to media to government to business to COVID, all of it. I mean, they put it all under the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was profoundly inspiring. So I got a chance to speak 3 times down there. So I want to thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Kathy, and thank you all for the hospitality and the love that was shown to me and all of the people who showed up. Really appreciate all of you. I also want to thank the pastor of Gulf Coast Church, Pastor Randy Morris. Pastor Morris hosted me on Sunday morning, had a wonderful time with him. And then we were at a really nice restaurant on Sunday afternoon. And let's see, that was called the United Hillsboro Rally at La Teresita Restaurant that was also in Tampa. I think I gave you all that address one time, 3248 West Columbus Drive. For those of you who might live in the area, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. It's owned by some Cuban brothers who own restaurants in other places as well. And they came to this country and put their hands to the plow, got busy. They built successful businesses. One of them, in fact, is a pastor as well. And it's just a wonderful thing. That the food was great. By the way, I don't know whether it's up yet, but a young man showed up. No, actually, 2 young men, because they're twin brothers, showed up. One of them is married. His wife was with him. And he loved so much the program and some of the opportunities that I had to share. That he actually added a little special effect. And so if you go on my Facebook page, as I say, E.W. Jackson SR, E.W. Jackson SR, you should find it there. I don't know whether it's up yet because I literally, folks, just arrived at my home in my studio 20 minutes before I was due on the air. So that's how close we were cutting it. A little later than I expected to be, because you know how that goes. But I think you'll find it fun and interesting what he was able to do with it. And I want to thank him, Kenny Rosario Gonzalez, who did that little piece of artwork. So it was just a wonderful time. I want to thank everybody for it. But now, that was 3 times, folks, in 2 days. The president's doing 4 and 5 times in 1 day. Lord, bless him and help him. And, of course, we know that Joe Biden is not doing speaking once in every you know, every 4 or 5 days. I mean, he's hunkered down in the basement somewhere and comes out occasionally for air. So the contrast in the level of energy is amazing. You know, there's some people who understand this, and I did not always understand this. I've been gifted with lots of energy, and you know, my wife said, slow down. You know, but it's just the way God has wired me. I was talking to a very successful businessman a number of years ago. He and I were having breakfast, as a matter of fact. He was about to fly out to go do something. He's a successful lawyer and businessman, by the way. And I asked him, guy's nickname is Rock. I said, Rock, what do you think is the most important quality for a person to be successful? I mean, he's a Christian, too. So, I mean, of course, faith in God. But in terms of your actual behavior and your practice and what you do, and, you know, he came back to me with an answer that I never expected to hear because it just hadn't crossed my mind. And he said, energy. I said, really? He said, yeah. Because if you're blessed with the energy to do a lot of things and you focus and you direct that energy, it's going to be hard to stop you. And I had never thought about it that way before. Of course, people can diffuse their energy all over the place and accomplish nothing. But I thought about that when I think about this president, because he has been blessed with a tremendous amount of energy. And that's why he's accomplished so much in the first 4 years of his administration. And I think he'll do a lot more in the next 4 years. So Joe Biden, on the other hand, and folks, I don't mean this to just be crass and political. I'm just trying to be honest about my observation. Joe Biden seems tired and worn out and moves slow. And it seems to me to struggle to try to demonstrate energy, you know, like he's got to really reach for it. And the presidency has got to be the most difficult job in the world. It's got to be the most difficult job in the world. I mean, we don't stop to think about the levels and the complexities of that job. I mean, he's got the nuclear football traveling with him everywhere he goes because he is the only person in America who can make the determination that we have to use nuclear weapons. I mean, think about the walking around on a 24-hour basis with that kind of responsibility and then doing all the other things you've got to do. So, I'll tell you something, folks. It's an amazing thing to watch a person who I think was designed for such a job, to watch him do it, and then of course deal with all of the slings and the arrows and the attacks that come with it. It's a thing to behold. So, look, tomorrow's election day, and this is it. This is it. We are down to the wire. I am predicting a tsunami of Christians, conservatives, constitutional conservatives, Second Amendment activists, First Amendment activists, pro-life activists. I am predicting a tsunami of people heading to the polls for the specific reason of driving out the darkness that is trying to envelop this country. Because let's be clear, as Christians, this transcends Donald Trump. It's bigger than he is. This is really about the ultimate historic and culminating battle between good and evil in the earth. And it's being played out right before our eyes. And every single one of us has got to take a stand. There are no neutrals in this fight. Everyone has got to be on the front lines. God bless you. Stand by. We'll be right back.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Tomorrow's the election, so you may have already voted like tens of millions, but if you haven't, I encourage you to vote because your vote might make the difference. In the past, many groups circulated articles and emails talking about the importance of one vote. In the last few elections, we haven't needed these reminders because some of the elections in the last few decades provided numerous illustrations. For example, George W. Bush won the 2000 presidential election by the slimmest of margins. His election essentially was decided by 537 votes in Florida. He won re-election in the 2004 presidential election again by a very slim margin. He won the 20 electoral votes from the state of Ohio with 50.8% of the vote. Over the years, I've collected some stories of elections that resulted in a tie. You can't get any closer than that. Consider the story of Penny Pollan in Illinois. It turned out that it was a tie, and so they ordered a coin toss, and she lost in the coin toss. Later, she found out that many members of her church hadn't bothered to vote in the primary election, and they could have made a crucial difference. In 2006, there was an even more interesting story of an electoral tie. William Crawford and Jean Miller both received an identical number of votes in an election in Ohio. William Crawford was especially upset. You might ask why. Well, it turned out that his two sons failed to vote that day. His son Jim lives across the street from him. His other son Andy is a college student who lives at home with him. Neither took the time to go to the polls. Would the outcome of these elections be different if a few people in Penny Pollan's church had bothered to vote, or if either of William Crawford's sons had bothered to vote? Does one vote count? Just ask Penny Pollan or William Crawford. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
For American Family Radio, this is Gateways to Better Education. I'm Eric Buehler. Did you know your state's Department of Education wants students to learn why we celebrate Thanksgiving? Yeah, I know we've got a ways to go before Thanksgiving, but teachers like to plan ahead. So let's talk about what should be taught at Thanksgiving. Teachers need to understand that their state's Department of Education expects students to know why Thanksgiving is celebrated. Every state lists it in their academic standards. Do you know why we celebrate Thanksgiving? It's a holiday established by our government. That's right. And the president asks us to thank God on that day. You'll be amazed at just how much your state's academic standards expect students to know about America's Christian heritage, and a lot of teachers don't even know it. For a free copy of our research on your state's standards, call us at 888-44-PARENT. That's 888-44-PARENT.
Brian Fisher here. Comrade Kamala comes out as an unabashed Marxist and vows to open our borders as wide as possible. Trump supporters do a Jericho drive around the swamp in D.C. Even more proof that masks do not work. What do polls tell us about Election Day? Who do angel families prefer for president? And Joe Biden reiterates his pledge to ban rifles next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, there is so much to talk about today that I know I'm not going to be able to give it all justice. So I'm going to hit a few topics and ask you to give me a call and tell me what you're thinking. I want to know how you're reading this election. I know what the pundits are saying, and I know what the pollsters are saying. It is back and forth, and Biden's leading, and they're close. They're neck and neck, and Trump is going to lose, and Biden's going to win. And that's been the mantra of the mainstream media. So I know how that goes, and I realize there has been a major propaganda effort on the part of the mainstream media to try to convince Christians that, first of all, convince everybody, A, that President Trump is the epitome of evil, that he's a terrible person and a terrible president. And by the way, they never talk about the things he's accomplished. Never, ever. But there have been it has been a full court press to convince everybody who will listen that he's just a terrible person who shouldn't be president. Well, of course, and we have the opinion of Don Lemon of the Communist News Network to tell us, because we don't have the sense, and he's dismissed the former friends he had because they just don't get it, you know. So of course we know that everything that comes out of their mouths is true, right? So there's been a full court press. So this president has not been running against his opponent. He's been running against the colleges and universities, against the so-called profession of journalism, against the leftist scientific and medical communities. Yes, and much of the medical community has become leftist. So that their science, they say, follow the science, but they don't follow the science. They follow the politics, and they conform their science to the politics. And so this president has had to confront them. He's obviously had to confront the entertainment culture, ridiculing him at every turn, convincing people that anybody who would vote for him needs their head examined. If you're black and you vote for him, you're not truly black. If you're a human being and you vote for him, you're not truly a human being because you're the equivalent of a Nazi. It has been a full court press. And in spite of all of that, the best they can do is we think that Biden will eke out a narrow win. With all of that, I mean, just think about that. With all of that, that's the best they can do. I think they are in for the shock of their lives. Which brings me to the first point I want to make. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has endorsed President Trump. And it's been a long time since they have endorsed a Republican. In fact, they haven't endorsed a Republican since 1972. I think that would have been Richard Nixon. Yeah. They haven't endorsed a Republican since 1972. That's a long time, folks. That's almost 50 years. It's just a couple of years short of 50 years. And they've decided to endorse President Trump. And here's the reason they gave. He has put America first. He has put America first. Now, I've heard everything imaginable about this, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but let me just make the point. It is common sense to put your own country first. It's not racist. It's not xenophobic. It's not selfish. It's not monstrous. It's not Nazism. It's common sense. And these idiots in the media can't distinguish between an extreme nationalism that wants to subjugate other people and common sense putting your own nation first, wanting to keep your own nation safe, wanting to keep your family, your community, your business safe from outside encroachment. Of course, America first. Duh. But they want to turn that into something sinister. Well, the Pittsburgh Gazette, thank God, got it and said, you know what? Actually, putting America first is really not a bad idea. Oh, no. We want to keep getting all of our medical supplies from China. We want to keep depending upon China for parts in our machinery, some of which go into our national defense systems. Yeah, we want to keep having a trade deficit with communist China, and we want to keep owing money to communist China. We want to keep communist China buying its way into our economy and into our politics by paying for the princelings, as they put it, the princelings of important politicians like Hunter Biden. Yeah, we want to keep doing that. We want to put China first. That makes more sense. Now that ought to be Biden's rallying call. Americans, we must put China first. I mean, what is wrong with these people? So yes, America first, and I love it. I just love it. And folks, you'd have to have your head examined to think any other way, which is what most leftists need, because this is where we live. Of course we want to put our home first. This is our country, of course. Oh, no, there's something sinister about that. There's something wrong with that. Yeah, only to a leftist is there something wrong with that. That's like saying, you know, I want to make sure that my own household is provided for. I want to make sure that my wife and my children are safe. I want to make sure that, you know, that our property is secure and all of that. What? Well, what kind of racist are you? How dare you suggest putting your own home first. Why, that's so selfish. That's so xenophobic. Somebody, get, they're going to hire a bunch of lawyers to try to cheat to get this election won. But you know what they need to hire? A bunch of psychiatrists to treat these people for whatever ails them. Of course, we know what they really need. What they need is the demons cast out of them. But, you know, since they don't believe in God, that would be kind of hard to do because they, a lot of them, they're in love with the devil. They just don't know it. They love everything he says and does. They love every value that he has, but they just don't know that they're in love with him. So it's going to be kind of hard to cast the devil out. But maybe a psychiatrist could at least help them see reality again. So that was the first thing. A Boston Globe columnist, as a counterbalance to that, compared President Trump's supporters and the caravans that they've been doing to ISIS terrorists. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Boston Globe. Yeah. An American newspaper compared American citizens who are rallying around the candidate that they support for president peacefully, not attacking anybody, not hurting anybody, flying the American flag. They're compared to ISIS terrorists. Boston Globe. Yeah. So once again, get the psychiatrist ready because these people are in desperate need of treatment. Clyburn, who is the majority leader, of course, under the inimitable Nancy Pelosi, James Clyburn, has said that for Black Americans who vote for President Trump, he's going to pray for them. Now, my first thought is, please, Mr. Clyburn, don't pray for me. Now, I'm not trying to be funny here. Folks, I'm serious. Don't pray for me. Because you wouldn't know God if he spoke to you from a burning bush. So I don't want you praying for me because, as far as I'm concerned, you're praying to the devil. People can call it whatever they want, but when they're praying for when they're praying to extend abortion, when they're praying to extend all of this transgender sexual confusion, when they're praying against Israel, they're praying to the devil. They're not praying to God. They may be deluded into thinking they are, but they're not. I don't want you to pray into the devil in my behalf. So don't pray for me, please, don't. In fact, if God spoke to James Clyburn from a burning bush, you know what James Clyburn would say? I told you, climate change is starting fires. He wouldn't know the difference because his God is the God of this world. So no thank you for those people who support President Trump. We don't need your prayers. Please keep them. Well, I don't know. It may be that that Anthony Fauci's days are numbered. I mean, he seems to have gotten a little bit into playing the favorite toward Joe Biden. If these people take over, they're going to shut this economy down. And here again, folks, I'm not saying that as a scare tactic. I just believe that that's what they intend to do. Because you see, they think they know what's best for everybody. And they think they should be able to make the decision, not you, not me, but them. And they don't have any sense of proportionality. I said the same thing about healthcare. I said, look, 15% of the people in the United States of America did not have healthcare. Many of us who already had healthcare, of course, were paying prices that you'd like to see come down. But it's not that we didn't have any healthcare in the country available. 85% of the American people had healthcare available to them, accessible to them, had health insurance and so forth. Why don't you come up with a plan to help the 15% rather than trying to destroy the whole system and recreate something new? Because it's not about healthcare, it's about power. And the same thing is true here with this COVID. We know who the most vulnerable people are. We know where the highest risk is. Why don't we concentrate our energy on protecting them and let everybody else live their lives? Oh, no, we can't do that because you don't know how to live your life. We'll tell you how to do that. Well, thank you very much. I'll make those choices myself. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There's a fire station in Helena, Arkansas, that has a very unusual attraction in it, or at least it used to. It wasn't the architecture or even the fire engines. The unusual attraction was a light bulb. Now, what's so unusual about a light bulb? Nothing for an ordinary light bulb. But this one in the fire station isn't ordinary, or it wasn't ordinary. Ordinary light bulbs, or at least the ones I buy, last about 6 months of average burning. Some of them go out quicker than that. A good one will go for a year. Well, there was a light bulb in the fire station in Helena, Arkansas, that had been burning for nearly half a century and had been in constant use, burning every night. Firemen estimate that it burned 12 hours a day for 43 years. Now, that's a rough estimate of 188,340 hours of service. Guess that goes as proof that the old saying is correct. They just don't make light bulbs like they used to. You know, thinking of that light burning constantly like that brings to mind another light. It's been burning for quite a long time also. You can truthfully say that the light I now have in mind has been burning for nearly 2,000 years. It shows no sign of burning out either. The light is, of course, the light of the world, the carpenter of Nazareth. Remember that the great carpenter once spoke of himself and said, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's indeed fitting that the Master more than once referred to himself as the light of the world. Light, you see, drives out darkness. Now, it's indeed unusual for a light bulb to burn nearly 190,000 hours. That's more than a lot of folks live. It is not unusual, however, for the light of life to be constantly burning for nearly 2,000 years. He's been giving a light for those who walked in darkness. Light, you remember, drives out darkness. And that is what he does, drive out the darkness. He drives out the darkness of fear and hate and prejudice and all the others which put darkness into men's souls. And that's the very reason he came into the world. Remember how he once said, "I've come as a light into the world, and whosoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." That is the great truth of the Christian faith. We don't have to live in darkness. We can see clearly and plainly where we are going because of the light that has come into the world, and yes, into our lives. The thing about darkness is that it obstructs our vision, and we cannot see where we are going. There's a great truth here. No man knows where he's going in the darkness, be it the darkness of a room or the darkness of a life. It takes light to make the pathway visible, whether it be the pathway of earth or the pathway of heaven. When the children were small, we left a light burning every night, and it gave them security. Those who followed the Nazarene can face the eternal sleep, knowing that they have a light burning, a light that drives out eternal darkness. This old world would be a lot brighter and a whole lot better if we would let the light of life shine in us.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. I want to try to get some of your calls in. I want to see how you all are reading this. What do you feel is going on around you, in your community, in your family, among your friends, the people you work with? And I just want to get a reading from you, because I don't think the pollsters can be trusted, because I don't think people trust them enough to be honest with them. But I trust you all, so I'd be curious to know what you all are thinking, what you're feeling right now. I think all this noise about Texas turning blue is nonsense. I think the same thing is true for Georgia. I think that's nonsense. But we shall see. We'll know here in a few days. We probably won't know tomorrow because of all these mail-in ballots. They don't have to be postmarked until tomorrow night, which means that they may not get seen until 3, 4, 5. I've had mail take 3 weeks to get to me. I'm serious, folks. No exaggeration. I've had mail take 3 weeks to get to me. And I'm not talking about from overseas, from right here in our country. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. But I'd be curious to know what you all think. 888-589-8840. A couple of other quick things. This guy, Michael McKean, attacked Lil Wayne, the young rapper, who apparently has a big following. Here again, I'm not fans of these rappers, but it's just interesting to me. Lil Wayne has come out, Lil Wayne is what they call him, L-I-L, has come out in favor of President Trump. And actor Michael McKean, who happens to be an American of European ancestry, has called Lil Wayne a sellout. And, you know, I thought to myself, Democrats have been trying to control the way black people and other minorities in this country think for the last 400 years, and they're still doing it. Well, 300 years. They're still doing it. Still doing it. They tried to do it with slavery. They tried to do it with segregation, Jim Crow. In fact, they were trying to get their bearings and figure out what to do next, and they came up with something called the Great Society Program and got right back in the same business of controlling how black people say, how black people think, talk, and act. And you have to have their approval. So although I don't think Lil Wayne is really concerned about what Michael McKean thinks. Antifa protesters screaming at police, "I hope all of your children get raped and killed." Really nice people, aren't they? Really nice people. And this woman Carpenter, she says the world is a much scarier, our country is a much scarier place since Donald Trump became president. I've got news for her. I started STAN to bring people together across racial and cultural lines because I was concerned about the left's divisive ideology that seeks to tear our country apart. President Trump is trying to unite America, except he's trying to unite America around a certain set of shared values. The left wants to slice us and dice us by race, by gender, by economic status, by sexuality, by whatever. I mean, they are the most divisive force in this country right now. In fact, you just heard what this representative of Antifa, these representatives of Antifa were saying. They want the police to be killed and their children raped and killed. I mean, what kind of human beings think like that? Evil human beings, frankly, who are caught up in the evil that Satan has tricked them into, and they've stupidly gone along with him. And we're trying to say, no, we don't hate those who oppose us politically. We just know they're wrong, and we're going to fight them politically, but we're going to fight them with the good fight of faith, with the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But we're not wishing that their families die. We're not wishing that they die. We're not wishing harm on them. We don't want anyone to hurt them. And see, that's the difference between who we are and who they are. Well, as Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And a liar, and the truth is not in him. One last thing. The Angel families, of course, are endorsing this president because they say he is the only one who has shown some concern for the loss of their loved ones at the hands of illegal immigrants. Because the left has turned its back on these people as if their loved ones' lives don't matter, no matter what the color of their skin. Jameel Shaw's life didn't matter, and he's black. And I could go down the list of people of various backgrounds whose lives don't matter. That's why we started the All Lives Matter movement, because in America, all lives matter. And that doesn't exclude anybody. And it doesn't put anybody above anybody else. All of us matter because we all matter in the sight of God. All right. I think we've got time. Let's go right to the phones. 888-589-8840. Essence in Texas. Essence, welcome back.
Hey, hello. I just wanted to say fast, you were talking about common sense, and I was just reading in Psalms a couple nights ago, and it says, "Don't speak to a fool, for he will despise the insight of your words." And I took that as these people are in darkness and can't comprehend what we are saying to them about everything. That's why they are showing violence, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. These people don't care or know anything about love for their neighbor. And I was going to quick say, if Biden got out of his basement more, there'd be a silver alert for him, because I think he would just get lost.
All right, Essence. Well, listen, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you for the call. I couldn't agree with you more. The God of this world, the Bible says, has blinded their eyes lest they see the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They can't. They're spiritually blind. But see, they think, as Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, because you say you see, your sin remains. If you said we were blind, then I could help you see. So you're right. Let's go to Wiley in Mississippi. Wiley, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, two things I just wanted to comment. In the 18th chapter of Exodus, that's where our entire judicial system come from, when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, told him to pick out some over 1,000, some over 100, and some over 50. And, of course, that's why Moses is on the Supreme Court up there. But, and, of course, now they want to scrutinize people for their belief and so forth. But also, I was listening to Alex Jones yesterday, and he told where to find out there. Dr. Fauci co-authored a paper back in 2008 that stated that during the 1918 pandemic, that the majority of the people that died from bacterial pneumonia from the mask they was wearing. And that was Dr. Fauci wrote that paper in 2008. But that was really all right. I had to say.
All right, Wiley, I appreciate that. That's interesting information. I'm sure our listeners will check that out. That's the first time I've heard that, I think. But thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Tim in Virginia. Tim, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, Tim. Thank you.
Good. Two things. I do believe the silent majority for Trump is out there. And I do believe we're going to see that come tomorrow. Last night I was, I like Disney films or comic film or those cartoons, and I was watching Madagascar on Nickelodeon, and then they had this commercial, and these cute kids are out there, and they're saying, we should have the right to speak our mind, and we should be this and that and this and that, and then next thing you know, they all have the right hand in the air, touting and Black Lives Matter. And I just, like you, I believe all lives matter, and it broke my heart to see how they are using and manipulating children in our society.
Yeah, Tim, it's a sad situation. The level of indoctrination coming from so many different sources is part of our problem, which is one of the reasons why we've got to stay active in politics, because it gives us one place where the truth can be heard. Of course, we've got to do it in our churches, and we've got to do it in our families and in our communities. But look, you're right. It's this stuff. It is pervasive in our society. And it seems like every institution of any kind of influence has bought into it lock, stock, and barrel. And they can only do that knowing its Marxist roots. They can only do that having been desensitized to communism and to totalitarianism and all that it brings with it. They're desensitized to that, and they're highly sensitized to the notion of social justice and racial justice, and they don't realize that's a Trojan horse that is really trying to bring in an insidious and evil ideology that will destroy everything this country represents and the great lives that the American people enjoy here. Thank you so much for the call, Tim. Back in a moment.
Airing the Addisons.
Any teaching about multiculturalism and diversity should not be entrusted to a culture void of God.
Applying scripture to life.
What I anticipate will be the great rollout of the next wave of indoctrination in our public school system, all right, will be to teach hatred to one group and guilt to another.
Weekdays at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Every week, on one of the days, I would take each of the children by themselves, just me and one of the kids, to go to breakfast.
Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee on Focus on the Family Minute.
Even when I became governor and Sarah was in that transition period of going through junior high and a tough time, I still did that. I did it for me, to be honest with you. But in that article, they ask her something about the relationship and what she remembered as a kid growing up, and she said that no matter how busy my dad was, he never failed to take me to breakfast once a week throughout all of my high school years. I think the single most important gift a parent can give, and that's time. And I once heard somebody say, you spell love T-I-M-E, and you can't substitute for that.
More from Mike Huckabee at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, folks, I neglected to mention that I did run into our listeners down in Tampa, Florida, as well in that area, and I'm not sure what stations are being listened to down there, but I did have people come up to me and say, hey, I heard you on the radio. That's why I came. So thank you all for all you do. Please use those archived podcasts, because here again, you may have friends in a part of the country where we might not have a radio program, a radio station, I should say, but the app and the live streaming can reach anybody, anywhere, anytime. So don't forget to make use of that to help us spread the word. I'm not sure what it was, Walker, who said this at a meeting we were at, and people were asking, how many new stations are you planning to build? And he held up his phone. He said, well, you know, he said, we're going to take advantage of any opportunity that comes our way that we really believe God has for us. But he held up his phone and said, but you know what? Guess what? This is the new radio station today. You know, right here. You can have it right with you everywhere you go. So let's all remember that. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to your calls. Because you all have been very patient. Let's go to Merle in Mississippi. Merle, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, how you doing? I enjoy your program. And, you know, I was listening to you talking about the crazies out on the street. It reminds me of Shakespeare, who said, hell is empty and all the demons are here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what's going on is demonic. There's no question about that. It's a spiritual battle.
Yeah, I was state criminal justice chairman for Ronald Reagan in 1980, met Margaret Thatcher, and seen a lot in my life, my long life, and wrote five books about it. But I tell you, I've never seen a time like this. We saw it coming back in those days when we're working undercover and dealing with the communist sin. They use the same clenched fists, the same rhetoric. And they distributed my name around, said they were going to sent word to the out of prison to the Black Liberation Army saying they were going to assassinate me. And all these people have kind of sired people who followed in their footsteps, or they became Marxist professors, yeah. And they marched through our institutions, and they've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. And all the perfect storm has come together, and they think they have us on the ropes, and they're betting everything. Yeah. It's all in, like in a card game. They put it all in to take us down, and I think they're going to fail. I think they're going to try to steal
it. And, amen. Merle, they're going to lose. They're going to lose because you know what? We're doing a little rope-a-dope on them. They think their little early voting and all of that, they don't know. There is a tsunami coming. Thank you so much for the call, Merle. And Merle, thank you for your service to our country. I really appreciate that. And by the way, you are right. The clenched fist is a communist symbol. And people don't even realize that. They've taken it as some kind of black power symbol. It is a communist symbol. That's where it comes from. And here again, why would any black person want to be associated with something that does nothing but enslave people? That's all that Marxism does, turns a whole nation into slaves. Thanks again for the call, Merle, and thanks again for your service. God bless you. Let's go to Jackie in Arkansas. Jackie, welcome.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to call and let you know what my community looks like and what we've been doing. I live in the foothills of the Ozark Mountains with near a 40,000-acre lake.
Mm.
And back in August, we had a Trump boat parade with 2,500 boats. And
wow.
Then a couple of weekends ago, we had a car parade for Trump with 100 cars, and my community is only 7,000 people.
Oh, and Jackie, I get the sense that this stuff is emerging spontaneously. It's not like the Trump staff are coming in there organizing these things. This is stuff that people are doing on their own, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
God bless
you. We know what this election is about. It's about standing against communism. I think it's hilarious because in July when Antifa acted up in Little Rock, we're just like 60 miles northeast of Little Rock. They came up here and some of our rednecks met them up at the top of the hill with the Trump flags flying behind their trucks.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a welcome sight for them. Hey, keep up the good work down there, Jackie. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jeanette in Louisiana. Jeanette, welcome.
Hi. Nice talking to you, Bishop. I've been
listening to
American Family Radio. Started listening at American Family Radio station last year. And since I've been listening at it, I've been educated and learned a lot. And it's bad how they have talked about Donald Trump and saying all the things that they are doing, but that just Satan doing that and using his children to try to destroy Donald Trump. But God gives him the wisdom and the knowledge to keep on going, and everything that Donald Trump said he was going to do, he did it. But the Democrats, you know, it'll be a sad world if them Democrats win. Because they're not for nothing good. They want to take your guns away. They want to take your freedom away. They want to take your freedom of religion away. They're teaching children about sex education in elementary school now and homosexual. The Bible do not accept that. And, you know, all we can do is pray and ask God to continue to let be done what is real and to serve God.
Amen. And Jeanette, I'm sure you would have mentioned this had you gone on, but they also want to kill babies. I mean, they think that there's some wonderful thing about aborting babies right up to the moment of birth and even after they've been born alive that you should still be able to allow a baby to die. Now, that is just so obviously evil that I don't understand how any Christian can sanction that and say, well, but there are other things. How can there be anything more important than saving the life of an innocent baby? So I said, Jeanette, you're right, but so many of us are deceived. Jeanette, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Virginia in Virginia. Hi, Virginia.
Hello, Bishop Jackson. I want to tell you what a blessing it is. I listen to your program and the AFA station. I get my news from there, and I get spiritual encouragement. But I just Praise want God. To tell you what a blessing you are, and I tell everybody about you. But
Thank
I was
you.
Reading in Psalm 121 and 22, where David said, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Now I love their souls, but I hate their evil doings." Because Jesus said, "You're of your father, the devil." And he was a liar from the beginning and the father of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just thank God. You know what I've been thinking a lot about is Queen Esther. When Haman planned that and plotted all that evil against the Jewish people, she took her petition to the king, and she risked her life. And I go to the King of Kings every day, over and over and over, for our wonderful president. I praise God for him every day. God put him in this place for this time.
Amen. Well, thank you, Virginia, for the call. And look, that's why I believe that America is going to emerge from this attempt to envelop her in darkness because of the prayers of the saints that are going up to the throne of God, that God cannot deny our prayers. The word says if we pray anything according to his will, we know he hears us. If we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. And the word says that we're supposed to pray for the righteous to be in authority. And that's not perfect. It doesn't say when the perfect are in authority. It says when the righteous are in authority, meaning people who put God first, put him in the forefront, as opposed to people, unfortunately, these leftists have now just dismissed God out of hand. We know God is not relevant. He's not important. And just keep him out of the picture. Okay, I think we've got time for one. If you're real quick, maybe a couple more. But let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, how's everything going down there in the Peach State?
Oh, we're hanging on, Bishop. The Trump flags are flying, and I think we're gonna stay red. Hey, I just want to say, you know, the Bible says that all governing authority is ordained by God, and you know, and we have the privilege to participate in that in this country. And I know it is our biblical responsibility to participate in these elections. And I just want to thank you for, as a pastor, having the courage and the backbone to stand up. You know, as you've probably seen, we've got a couple of prominent pastors in this country who, for lack of a better word, have taken the spineless decision to not participate in the election. And, you know, I just want to say to them, I bet Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and these people like that are participating in this election. And you better, if you really, you know, care about the unborn and you care about God's word and his definition of marriage. And look, you know, the First Amendment applies to all religions. Muslims need to be able to worship too peaceably, you know, but these radical Muslims in this country, they don't want us to worship peacefully. And Joe Biden has no spine. He has spineless.
None.
He will go with whatever way these people, you know, he's going to owe these Muslims and these different groups that put him in office, and he'll go whichever way they go. So,
Wesley,
you know, like you said, man.
I couldn't agree with you more, Wesley. We've come to the end, but I couldn't agree with you more. And I believe that if he were a different person, he would have said to his son a long time ago, "Hunter, don't you dare enter into any business arrangements with any foreign country while I'm president of the United States. Because it's wrong. No matter what you say, no matter what I say, they're trying to buy influence with me, and I'm not having it." But he didn't have the integrity to do that. He just winked and nodded go ahead, son, collect that money. And over the course of his political career, the man's become a multimillionaire with multiple homes all over the place. How'd that happen, I wonder? Since he doesn't have any business, he hasn't created anything, invented anything, manufactured anything. How did that happen? Well, we know how it happened. He's corrupt. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for praying for us and supporting us. Don't forget to check out those podcasts, the archives. They're very, very important to us because we hope they're important to you. So God bless each and every one of you. Okay, tomorrow's it. It is D-Day. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.